Welcome to Global Journalist. I'm Stuart Lurie of the Missouri School of Journalism. I don't own a wand, and we don't have a wand store in mid-Missouri or anywhere nearby, but nonetheless, this week, we're going to venture into a discussion of witchcraft, literary witchcraft, and wizardry in international literature. After all, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, published only 5 days ago, has already sold over 10 million copies throughout the world, and over 10 million have been printed in this country, the United States, alone. That puts Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince on a par with, I'm sorry to say it, the Bible, making it the best-selling book of all time, except for the Holy Book. Published in 62 different languages, this is certainly an international story of great moment. The book's author, J.K. Rowling, became one of the five female self-made billionaires in the world, and only the first author of either sex to earn $1 billion writing. So here is an international phenomenon that strikes many as wizardry. Wizardry of literature, wizardry of marketing or public relations that has created a new generation of readers throughout the world. We're going to talk about this phenomenon today in two parts. In the first, we have Harry Potter readers, young people who are still wrapped up in the latest volume and who are longtime Harry Potter fans. They are, in Hull, England, Lizzie Atkinson. She's 15 years old and a cub reporter for The Guardian. She was sent to cover the release of the book in Scotland last Friday night. Traveling in England, Tricia Mittal of New Delhi, India. She's in Portsmouth, and she won a nationwide competition by the Indian publisher Penguin India, and she went to Scotland to interview author Rowling. And in Cape Town, South Africa, Tara Weinberg. Tara is 18 years old, and she started a Harry Potter website, www.pensive.net, almost 4 years ago. She's been reading Harry Potter since she was 11 years old. I'll introduce our other guests when we get to them, but first, I want to ask each of you Harry Potter readers to explain to older people why the series is so interesting to you. Let's do it in alphabetical order, and let's start with Lizzie Atkinson.
Hi. The reason I love Harry Potter is that it mixes the fantastic with the mundane. So, you know, Harry goes to school, and instead of playing football, he's playing Quidditch, which is a game on broomsticks. And at Hogwarts, there are hundreds of, like, different lessons that have nothing to do with maths or science or English, and you can just, like, get into the book and just pretend you're in a different world.
Lizzie, tell me, what is the difference between the fantastic and the mundane?
Well, the mundane's like math lessons, and then the fantastics is like charms lessons when, you know, you're with your wand and you're doing all these spells. I just think that's great, because it's still school life, but it's like different lessons with wizards in there.
Okay, and let me ask Tricia Mittal the same question. Tricia, what is it about Harry Potter that is so overwhelmingly interesting?
I think it's really good. The first time someone has been able to put across such imagination through a book, and it has become so famous. That is really good. I'm thinking that magic is not real about the world and how she has put it across. It's really good.
Have you read? Have you yet read the sixth book? And have you read all six now?
Yeah, I've read all six.
And which is your favorite book?
I think the sixth one, because it is really adventurous. It moves at such a fast pace, and I didn't even realize when it got over. It got over really fast. That's because the other ones, they were a bit drag. But in this one, there's something new in every page. So I think that's really good.
Yeah, and Tara Weinberg, you are a little bit older now. You're 18 years old, but you are running a website devoted just to Harry Potter. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, I originally started the website when I was in eighth grade, so I was 14 years old. That was in 2001. And I started because I wanted to share my knowledge and love of Harry Potter with others and to communicate with other Harry Potter fans all over the world. And I think that's been the most enriching experience of the website.
Why are you so in love with Harry Potter?
Well, I think it's the world that I really love. Harry's world is so... There's something familiar about it because there are parallels to the world that we live in. You can imagine that wizards might be living among us somewhere. So in that way, it's believable, and one feels comfortable within it. So we're not totally alien, but yet there's enough magic to make it feel special and removed from our own world so that it's also escapism. Yeah. That's what I love about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Tara, I think I should tell our listeners that you're a magician. Is that right?
That's right, yes.
And do you get into wizardry at all in your magic acts?
Well, sometimes I do. I do quite often Harry Potter-themed magic shows. Obviously, I can't go too far without encroaching on copyright and that sort of thing. But yeah. I do wizard-themed magic shows.
What kind of wand do you use?
Well, I use a wand that lights up. So I say Lumos, and then it lights up
and
at the tip.
It just lights up like that, huh?
Yes.
You have no magic stones or anything like that?
Well, there might be a bit of magic to it,
Can't
reveal that.
Lizzie and Tricia, do you also own wands?
I wish.
Yeah, I would love to.
You would love to, but you don't right now. Tell me.
No, I don't.
What are you going to do after book number 7 is published and you read it? Are you all readers? Are you going to continue to read, or is this just a phenomenon in itself? Lizzie?
No. Oh, definitely I'm going to carry on reading. I mean, J.K. Rowling, when I met her, she said that she really loved people to get into reading by reading her books and then, you know, moving on from there and reading different stories about different things. And she even said that, you know, if she writes again, it will be in a completely different genre. So, you know, she wants people to try different ranges of books and things.
And Tricia?
I think I surely will continue reading. I did read before Harry Potter, and I will continue. And also J.K. Rowling said that she will continue writing, maybe not Harry Potter, but some other books. So I will look forward to that also.
And who is your favorite author besides J.K. Rowling?
I think Dan Brown. I've read all his 4 books, and they're really good.
So you have read the Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons?
Yeah, I've read it.
And you had no trouble dealing with those books?
No.
Right. And Tara, are you a reader also, or just a Harry Potter fan?
Yes, definitely. I read a lot of things. Harry Potter, just one of them. And it's nice to have a variety of things, to read a bit of realism, and then go back to Harry Potter again and just allow yourself to escape.
Yeah. And what about the fantastic in itself? Are these the kind of books that you all like to read? After all, Dan Brown is pretty fantastic stuff also. Tricia?
Yeah, I think I will. I will continue reading, and I'm looking forward to if Dan Brown will write any more books.
Okay, I think now what I would like to do is go to our professional journalist friends. I want to thank you, Lizzie and I'm sorry, Lizzie and Tara and what? Okay. Well, anyhow. Thank you all, and I just want to tell our viewers that you're listening to Global Journalist. I'm Stuart Lurie. You can listen to this program again, make comments, ask questions, or hooking up with Tara Weinberg's website at www.pensieve.net by going to www.globaljournalist.org. Now, I would like to introduce our other guests. In New Delhi, Indrajit Hazra, Associate Editor of the Hindustan Times. Times. In London, Nigel Reynolds, arts correspondent of the Daily Telegraph. In Moscow, Lisa Steiger, a cultural correspondent for the newspaper Kultura. And in Cape Town, South Africa, Teresa Smith, a reporter for the Cape Argus. All of you listened to our younger guests, and you have all been reading, of course, about the Harry Potter phenomenon, if you haven't been reading the books yourselves. Tell me what you think about Harry Potter as a cultural phenomenon. Lisa Steiger, do you want to go first?
Well, I can. Of course, here in Russia, it's really not a literary, but just a cultural phenomenon. And everybody agrees on that, although the comments are mixed. We have some good things about it and some negative opinions. First of all, I want to say that the publishing house Rossmann, which has exclusive rights for translating and publishing the book, they are fans of the book. They visit every presentation in London, Scotland, and they organize wonderful events for children here. And one of their I think very, very useful thing they have done together with the charity organization from the UK, Charities Aid, they have published, or they have produced, in fact, an audio cassette for blind children to be able to hear the first book of Harry Potter, and those cassettes in number of 1,000, even more, they have been distributed to special schools and libraries for blind children. So now the blind children have also this opportunity. And those who are for Harry Potter, have their reasoning like this, that the book took children from the computer games, from internet, and brought them to books. And they think that Harry Potter is a locomotive for this tendency.
Okay, Lisa, let's bring Nigel Reynolds into this. Nigel, Harry Potter is certainly a locomotive in the United Kingdom and here in the United States as well as elsewhere in the world. What do you make of this? And why haven't we had anything like this with previous children's books?
Well, good morning. I'm not really convinced that Harry Potter is a cultural phenomenon. There have been many superior children's books written in the past with far better quality of magic than Harry Potter. I don't want to put Harry Potter down entirely, but I don't think the quality of writing quite merits the extraordinary discussion that's been prompted around the world. But I do think the real cultural phenomenon is everybody's reading Harry Potter at the same time and everybody's talking about Harry Potter at the same time. This really is the first global children's book. I mean, it's very possible that Sherlock Holmes or C.S. Lewis could have benefited from this sort of marketing attention in the global communications world, and I think they'd have been, they're probably more deserving of worldwide acclamation than Harry Potter is. I think the Harry Potter books are more than adequate. They're very, very beautifully and simply written, and they're very easy and very accessible to children, but they're very traditional stories. I don't happen to believe that the quality of magic is nearly as high as good as it is in C.S. Lewis' Narnia books, for example, or more recently Philip Pullman, an English author's trilogy called His Dark Materials, where really the quality of imagination is just extraordinary, and the quality of magic is tenfold what J.K. Rowling has managed to conjure up.
Well, Indrajit Hazra, you just heard what Nigel Reynolds has said. What do you think? We have a phenomenon here.
I tend to sort of agree with Nigel there, that there have been sort of better books or equally sort of proficient books in which deals in the same sort of thing. There's another problem which I might sort of think which has more to do with the grown-ups who actually spend the money for the books, which is basically sort of there are two reasons why this book has made the news. One is the book itself, which has sort of captured a lot of children's imagination. And then there's the other bit, which is this is a book which has earned a writer £1 billion.
Certainly we're all happy about that, aren't we?
Yes. But I think a lot of people are completely fascinated by the fact that let me try and have a look, especially the grown-ups, let me have a read through something which is, in terms of financially so rewarding for the writer. So there might be, I'm not sort of going to the extent of sort of agreeing with the Pope that it's sort of, it might sort of, bend spirits or anything like this. But I definitely think that there might be a point in which Harry Potter might be appreciated, for beyond literary reasons, in the sense of curiosity of how much a billion pound writer, what does it take to be a billion pound writer? Which is necessarily not a bad thing, because it's sort of, in India, for example, our sales in English books are not that much for adult books anyway. And if you sort of include, the various translations of the books in Hindi and Gujarati and Bengali, this is a truly, phenomenal numbers which have been sort of raked up by Harry Potter over the five books before. So in the long run, I think it's a good phenomenon, because people get to read books, people want to read books, but I sometimes think that maybe it's just it's a mix of let me have a good read as well as let me have a look at a book which gets a lot of money.
Okay, let's bring Teresa Smith into this. Teresa, this is also a phenomenon in South Africa. How does it happen that the interest in this book stretches from Edinburgh, Scotland, to Cape Town?
Well, we're part of the Global Village as well. We read English down here as well, and it's quite amazing. We've just gotten the figures that on the first day, on the Saturday, we sold just over 40,000 copies, which for South Africa is, wow, that's 40 times more than the weekly average. You have to hit about 1,000 copies a week in order to be considered a top seller.
You know, the first printing of the first Harry Potter book in the United States was 50,000 copies for the first printing. That book has now sold millions by itself. And altogether, all the Harry Potter books around the world have sold 275 million copies. That's just incredible. Does it tell us something about modern global marketing and public relations and advertising techniques, or is this really a piece of literature that attracts that much attention? Teresa, do you want to try that?
I think it's the marketing. I agree with Nigel that it's a lovely book, but there are some better written books out there, like Pullman, older stuff like C.S. Lewis, Susan Cooper, even Diana Wynne Jones. But though she struggled in the beginning, once the publishers realized how they could actually market this book, once they realized that people were actually reading this, the marketing went into overdrive, and it is just now a cultural phenomenon, not in terms of what an amazing book literature-wise it is, but in terms of how it has been marketed. And, hey, if it's going to get the kids reading, I don't mind either way.
Nigel, I don't imagine you mind either.
Now, I would disagree about them. Having in London, where Bloomsbury, her initial publisher, her original publishers, are based, I've watched them quite carefully. I don't think they have got into marketing overdrive in a way. I mean, they're not. They haven't done a Pepsi or a Coca-Cola or a McDonald's on this book. They've been reasonably discreet, and J.K. Rowling's made very, very few personal appearances. She's very sensitive to being accused of overhyping the book and overhyping herself. I think the phenomenon has taken off its own just because communications are so extraordinary, because the book is a good enough book that, once it reaches £1 billion, everybody says, I must buy this book that reached £1 million. I've got to see what it's like. But one thing I'd like to move on to that springs out of marketing is that publishers, certainly in Britain, I imagine elsewhere, have brought out an adult edition as well as children's editions of all the books now. And in Britain, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, they estimate, will become the best-selling adult book of the year. Now, I think that is alarming. It's fine for it to be the best-selling children's book of the year, but for the best-selling adult book of the year, what novels and other books are adults going to forego for reading a child's book? I mean, I sit on the London Underground and watch adults ploughing their way through Harry Potter this week. I talked to one on the Underground who said she'd already finished it and was going to start it again. And I think that's very disappointing for the rest of literature. They reckon that Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince will take about 25% of the adult market this year.
Yeah. We've seen that in Cape Town as well.
Yeah, that is truly.
I think South Africa.
Potentially, that is a little bit disappointing.
When I spoke to Lisa Steiger yesterday to ask her to be on the program, she said that she had not read Harry Potter. Lisa, are you any more interested in reading it now?
Well, first of all, I read the first book, not the others. Of course, I'm interested now because I spoke to different people since yesterday, and I know much more about it. I also spoke to some teenagers and some children to get ready for your program. And I should say, because people are telling about the success of the book, I can say that in Russia I have these figures now. Each book has been published in 1 million copies. But you probably know, Stuart, since you have been here a lot, that in Russia there is a tradition to borrow books and to lend books to your friends and acquaintances. So they count that at least 5 million people have been reading each book of Harry Potter.
Lisa, I have to tell you that yesterday I read somewhere that actually Harry Potter is being outsold by Boris Yeltsin's memoirs.
Well, right you are, because I was told that this is the most popular and the most successful book in Russia, that none of the books today has been so successfully sold.
Do any of our other guests think that Boris Yeltsin is going to do pretty well in their countries?
I'm afraid not.
I don't think it's going to happen yet.
But I'm very pleased to hear it's happening in Russia. Right. Some sanity.
Yeah, Indrajit, can you please tell us, India is a country of many languages. Do you have any idea how many languages the book has been published in India? Indrajit, are you still with us? I think we may have lost Indrajit Hazra, and I am sorry to hear that. Teresa Smith, maybe you know.
I can tell you.
Please.
I can tell you that the book will be translated into Afrikaans by mid-October. It'll reach the bookstores, which is quite fast for translation, considering that I know that the lady who does the translation only got the book along with the rest of us on the 16th.
Hmm.
And I know that blind kids can get the book off the website.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to come from the UK, so it takes a while to get it sent out to them. But it doesn't get translated into Xhosa, though, which is the third most spoken language down here in Cape Town. But there's never really been a call for that. I don't know whether it's a case of if the book was actually produced in Xhosa, people would read it, or whether there isn't a big enough market. Nobody's ever tested that to see what would happen.
Yeah, in the research I did, I read that around the world, the book is going to be published in 62 different languages. Except for the Bible, I don't think there's any other book that comes close to that. Nigel, do you know of any?
No, I can't think of one. I was just listening to you talking then. I couldn't help but remembering that one of the earlier Harry Potter books has been translated into Latin, and there's plans to mm-hmm. translate at least one of them into ancient Greek. And with the idea, I believe, that they'll stimulate interest in Latin and Greek.
Hmm. That might be so. Lisa, I think that the book that is being sold now in Moscow is the English language book.
It has been sold in some stores which have original languages, but the Russian translation of the book has been sold in the very heart of Moscow, the bookstore called Moskva. And also they organize wonderful events, night events, when each book of Harry Potter comes out. And for instance, when the fifth volume came, the fifth book, they had an event preceding the opening of the cell. They produced some very inexpensive tickets for children, which had an inscription, "Please make your own agreement with Harry Potter." And each ticket was sold out for 5 rubles, and you know, it's very, very cheap. It's something like 20 cents.
Okay, Lisa.
And then they had a lottery, and a boy from Ufa, which is Bashkiria, he was a winner, and he and his family, as a prize, went
Lisa,
to London in May.
I'm sorry, I have to cut you off. We have only a few seconds left, and I want to give the last word to Nigel. Nigel, do you think that this is a phenomenon that can be copied by other authors or other authors and other publishers?
I know other authors who are trying to copy it. A friend of mine is planning to write a 26-part series of magic books along the same line. I think this will be emulated again.
Okay, Nigel, I'm sorry, I do have to cut you off. One newspaper article that I read this week said that income from the sale of a book, the Harry Potter latest book, was greater than the intake from a new movie for the first time. I have to say that's great to see. Let's hope that it can spread from Harry Potter to other reading. That will be a real act of wizardry. Let's say goodbye to all 8 of our guests. Our director is Pat Akers, our producers Pavritha Sarah-George, Renata Johnson, Tim Carnahan, Yufus Kalyango, Yusuf Kalyango, excuse me, and Megan Mascari. For all, I'm Stuart Laurie, global journalist. We'll be back next week.